Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guess is Billy Young from Arizona. Man, thanks for hanging on, man.
So
go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, I sit here and I ponder and I ask again, the question I was asking you was, why is it that you think a lot of people, they just don't want to own this? You cannot dispute history. So therefore, we know that the slave trade, you know, when you start dropping certain words, people are automatically, man, they're going to tune out. You say slavery, I don't want to hear about it. You say forced labor, I don't want to hear about it. You talk about, you know, those kinds of issues, racism, some people just, they don't want to own that, man. They don't want to own it in the sense that they had anything to do with it, that white privilege may be a concept out there, but, you know, I grew up and I got my own, so why shouldn't I be measured in the same way on the level of playing field that anybody else? The phrase was, raise yourself up by your own bootstraps. Well, I absolutely believe in that concept 100%. The point is, if I don't have any boots, let alone any bootstraps, right, and I've been denied the opportunity to access boots and bootstraps, then that's a different conversation, because from the very beginning, I was in Wisconsin, man, when they were building like 8-10 brand new prisons. They were not building prisons without the anticipation that those prisons over the next 10, 20, 30 years would be full of prisoners. So part of that's economic. Part of it is that people are like, that's history. I'm not a part of that. Let's move on. I'm a good person. Okay. Earl, there are some people who are genuinely committed to true equity, true diversity. I believe that. So you know what? If they have a connection to resource that can empower people and include people in a more general and inclusive way, let's stop talking about it. Their hands are out and open. What can we do? I'm at the next level, man. I mean, I hear what we go through. But, you know, we also have some responsibilities ourselves to look at what we do have and begin just actualize those resources to getting to where we want to get to. We're two generations deep into this, man. A lot of people are not even hearing this, let alone responding to some sort of, you know, as you alluded to, mobilization, man. The political process on this is only so much of the answer. You know, you have to engage people, particularly those people who have resources and have a genuine desire to include, in a way now, as we're sitting across, okay, so what can we do? Is it programs, initiatives, you know, it's a lot of different ideas. And we've been through this discussion before, but to sort of keep—it's not in the sense beating a dead. What are we looking for in a response from people? Say, okay, yes, white privilege exists. Yes, there are racists on the fringe over here. Yes, we don't like what's going on. Yes, but, I mean, okay, we got it, man. What's the next thing? God, you're not going to change those people's minds, nor are you, as much as you're not going to sort of change or persuade or influence the minds of who you're trying to help the most, the needy, because they're not in that process.
So Billy, so what I would say is you look at many different urban centers where the investment in those centers have basically been completely removed. And people who attempt to do things to get resources to rebuild those neighborhoods and communities run up against things from banks, lending institutions. It's not just the average everyday Joe. Businesses themselves who work hard and try to get loans to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And they are met with what we are talking about here, Billy. It's not just
Earl.
Go ahead.
At the same time, man. Okay, and you know, you're sort of making the point. You're right. Redlining, access to loans, man, all of that has been going on. Come on, man. God. Okay, nobody.
So what do you do, Billy? You just keep accepting that? You just keep overlooking that, and we have to learn to work around that?
No. Yeah. Well, to some degree, we do. Because, you know, man, I mean, the more it's like if the wind is blowing hard, you got a jacket on. You know that the analogy, man. So if you expect these people to succumb or kowtow to public pressure, man, hey, come on, man. To me, you have to work smart. Then what we begin to do is we begin to go now to these financial institutions and these people of wealth and these investment companies, et cetera, who are talking about and find people who are, in fact, now empowered to make policy change. But we deal with a whole cadre, man, of people in D.C., and they are completely, totally focused on policy change. Policy change is going to take a much longer time.
That's correct.
There are some things that you can do with businesses locally. I know that the vision here is global, or certainly is national. And maybe what happens in Kansas or in Wyoming or in Maine, right? But to the degree, a lot of that, what happens in these in Milwaukee is, man, you know. I was surprised. Milwaukee's 30th in the country. But what happens in the central city of Milwaukee is absolutely just a microcosm of what's happening in central cities and larger communities. I mean, it's all the same. Again, one of the things that I just hate about Milwaukee and Wisconsin, I hate using that word, is this lack of ability to see that the commonality. Sometimes we're the worst in the most worst segregated number one. Man, you think there's that much difference between number one, number two, number 10, number 20? Racism is racism. Ostracism. I mean, you know, exclusion is exclusion, man. Get past the mentality. Pick up the phone. You got an issue. There's some good things happening. My answer to you is this, man. Yes, that we find empowerment and inclusion and opportunity within those companies that have influence on Wall Street, in D.C., on Wisconsin Avenue, in Madison, whatever it might be, who are looking for the opportunity to address this and begin the process. Just like we're two generations into this, it's going to take a while to get past it.
So, Billy, I don't disagree with that at all. There's a place for those who will look at it from the perspective that you and others look at it from. But just like it was when Dr. King was around, there's a place for people to challenge the nation to live up to what it claims it is. And then when it chooses not to do that, that you continue to say, hey, I'm an American citizen too. I have the same birthright. And so I'm not going to accept second-class birthright in a nation that professes something else.
And nobody's asked you to do that.
No, Billy.
Nobody's asked you to do that.
No, Billy. I'm saying, not me. I'm talking about many people in this society.
Me. I mean that collectively.
Right.
And nobody's asking. We need to, this is a multifaceted approach.
No question.
And I'm telling you, we need to stop relying on elected officials.
I don't.
Because if there's no greater example of, dare I say, I don't want to say failure, man, but certainly have fallen way short. And here's the amazing thing about a place like Milwaukee, man, or even Wisconsin to some degree. But understand, I travel the state. And in fact, Earl, imagine if you grew up in La Crosse, Eau Claire, Manitowoc, Two Rivers, Janesville, any of these places, man. and dealing with these issues, it was never part of your life. You know, you grew up unaware of any of this. Why at some point in your educational journey, your social, economic outcoming, that are now all of a sudden, oh, wow, racism, exclusion, you know, now I have to make amends for that when it wasn't even, never even a part of my life? Hey, come on, man, we respond to, we must, from a survival standpoint, if we have families, we have career plans, we've got to survive in the environment where we are, or we got to change our environments. Period.
So,
Wisconsin is always and will always be a challenge. And we're, in fact, the folks I'm involved with, man, you know, we are supporting, have been academic advancement of these young guys that we're dealing with a sort of unwritten promise that once we sort of help them, in the initial stages of their professional development, they'll come back to Milwaukee.
And that's a good thing that you guys are working with that group of young men. I'm working with a group of young men myself. I'm not a person who sits back and just talks. And anybody who knows me and knows my record, you know, there's action behind it. But at the same time, I look at the masses of children, the masses of people. And because you know what? When I was a young person, the masses were always the reflection of the society. And so when you see such a large percentage and a direction that things are going, it's hard for me to accentuate the positive when I know that far too many human beings continue to have a life or future that is questionable at best. In the land of plenty. We got to go to a break. Hang on, Billy. Hang on. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Go ahead. Yep.
Sitting me right down and he talked to me.